Did you have a good time, huh, Eddie?
I'm a little disappointed in you, frankly.
Frankly, huh? Well, frankly, your ass! I seen you, man.
Seen
so
what?
Don't give me that.
Seen
I seen
what?
You.
Seen what?
Screw this, you know? I mean, I don't need this. I'm gone. I'm going home. Come on. Come on. We're going
home. The hell you are.
Oh, the hell I am!
You're going home alone, man.
Oh, is that right? Now I'm going home alone. Yeah, what is it? You and Eddie now? You're going to go to bars and get felt up by Eddie? Is that who you are?
Vincent! Vincent! You go in that place, you play your part. It's nice, huh? I put my hands on her, I'm playing a part. It's acting.
Your hands were all over already!
I'm acting! It's acting!
Hey, look, Vincent, when you go into movies and you see people kissing, what do you think? They go home together? They're professionals, Vincent.
We're just trying to be professionals.
Podcast. This is Andrew.
This is Douglas, and guess what? Wait, sorry, what's that? No, sorry, Damien isn't here.
Yeah, so we can do whatever the fuck we want.
Yes, like trash him.
tonight we're drinking beverages. Usually we're drinking beer, but we're having beverages tonight.
Yeah, you hear that? That's proper crystal, guys. Awesome. No, we are drinking White Russians.
Or Caucasians, dependent on what you call them.
Exactly, you know.
It is a tasty beverage.
It is.
Like, I remember watching that movie and wondering what the hell is that he's having.
Me too.
I mean, every once in a while you'd see him, like, pick up milk and you'd be like, oh. Or you'd see him pick up vodka and you'd be like, oh. And then later on in life, my love for alcohol came around and I found out what the hell it was and I tried it and it is a tasty beverage.
I remember you used to hate alcohol when you were younger.
Yes, I did. I wouldn't
even
eat rum, not
cake. Yeah.
I was like, oh, rum.
When I found out that you actually drank, I was aghast. Flabbergasted. Astounded and dumbfounded. It was quite the revelation.
It just sounded like the Joseph Gordon-Levitt thing.
What Joseph Gordon-Levitt thing? What's that?
Made you watch.
Yeah. The very wordy, very, and it seemed very cool, but I don't know. At the time, I
know you weren't into it.
Yeah,
you weren't ready to see it.
Mm-hmm.
You weren't prepared.
Exactly. But yeah, I have to say that movie was actually the reason and the sole reason that I first tried this beverage. And I love it. To this day, you know, I still enjoy, as you can see,
a beverage.
My cold beverage. So I guess we have to decide what we're going to talk about. So what are we going to talk about? Because you see, we had this script. We had this major script.
This whole idea.
Yeah. That we were going to, well, do the usual thing. You know, talk about what we've seen this week. Talk about the trailers that came out. As well as our feature review, which is The New World by Terrence Malick. Which we're still going to talk about all three of those things, probably. But also, we were going to talk about, well, not talk about, we were going to do. We were going to have a Hollywood fantasy draft, which
inspired by Anomalous Material.
Exactly. I was going to say, you know, which is very awesome, but also, we stole it, so, sorry.
I was going to give him credit all the way. And it's a really cool thing. I did my draft on his website, and I posted up my pitch on my website. You can see it's a post called A Movie Pitch by Me, which I'm kind of proud of. I think it's really cool. Like, some of it is slightly formulaic, but I still think it works really well with what I did. And I want to watch that movie.
Yeah, yeah.
And I wanted us to all do it, but with it just me and you, it kind of feels...
No, I think that we need to have at least Damien along, and it would actually be really fun if we had somebody else. You know, it would be great to be to be a bigger thing. You know?
So, here's what I'm going to do.
What are you going to do?
First of all, I'm going to hope that we'll do this next week.
Yeah,
Damien will be here, and we'll do this next week. Also, I'm going to put it out there to everyone who's listening to this, all three of you. Send me an email, andrew.robinson@gmanreviews.com, and either send me your pitch, record yourself, type it, whatever.
That would be awesome.
Send it to me, and I will play it on the podcast while we're doing our own draft.
That would be so great if they actually recorded. I mean, emails would be awesome
I
too. But
read
like
your emails.
Oh my goodness, recordings would be so fantastic.
It'd be fantastic. I don't lie to myself that we have a huge listenership, but I know there are some people out there who listen to us. And I know of some people because they tell me, and I'm really flattered every time someone comes out to me and says that they listen to my podcast and they actually like it. And I'm like, that's really cool. I love it. But send me an email. It'd be great. And if anyone out there is listening and like to participate, send me an email. Give me your Skype address. We'll Ooh. Chat about it and see what happens.
Yeah.
But for today, I think, you know, just so that we don't, like, mull around for the next 2 hours. let's just start out with what we've been watching this week. Okay. You want to go first or me?
I suppose I could go first, but like I said, it's not much. This week I watched a movie that I've actually really wanted to watch for a long time, even though a lot of people have said bad things about it. And I saw the trailer and originally said bad things about it. But the two leads just... There's something about them. They've got that star power, that pull, that made me need to watch this film. And it was Date Night with Steve Carell and Tina Fey. Yeah, exactly. Right?
I watched that movie.
The movie wasn't great, but at the same time, it was better than I thought it was going to be.
I actually had high hopes for it when I was going.
Really?
I was like, this could work.
No, it couldn't, and it didn't. But it was okay. It was... There were a few times where I laughed, right? So it's not like, oh, this movie was the worst comedy ever. It was, you know, it still had its ups.
The dude from Armageddon had a broom.
Yes, and that was kind of ridiculous. But, and of course, he loved when they did the robot. I like that, you know, the robot sex. But, yeah, all in all, not a great movie. But, you know... Still worth a Sunday afternoon watch if it's on HBO and there's not much else that you're up to. In addition to this, I started watching, I'm now in the middle of the third episode of the first season of Burn Notice. Now,
which season? The first season.
Yeah, the third episode of the first season. So, I'm giving USA... a little bit of a chance here because, as I talked about before in the podcast, I had been kind of watching Covert Affairs, and finally, after about I think it might be 5 or 6 episodes, I've decided it's not for me. And USA, that's strike one. 2 more left. Okay.
So the question is, if Burn Notice turns out to be a strike on your in your regard, what's going to What's going to be your third attempt?
What's going to be my third attempt? I don't know. The ones that come to mind immediately are Psych. Psych looks like it could be cool. And it has lasted long enough to let me know that other people think it's cool. What
How
else?
How long did Friends last?
I liked Friends at the time. I have to admit. In the later stages, I really didn't. But at first, I thought Friends was the greatest thing in the world.
How long has Real World been going on?
Again, I liked the Real World when I was young. I admit that freely and with much shame.
With you taking a swig of your drink, friend, like, I do not want to see this. Let me get drunk.
Oh, the OC, but that's not on USA. That's on like Fox, right? Or is it on USA?
I have no idea. I don't watch the OC. That show looks like shite. It's like,
but it's got Peter. What's his name? Peter. No, the guy. He was the British lady's husband in the last season of Californication.
Oh, I know who you're talking about.
Yeah.
But I don't know his name.
Yeah, he's kind of fun sometimes. But, yeah, maybe I'll watch that. I know people like it for the music. I don't know about the TV show itself. And I didn't
watch
know
Parenthood.
That was USA.
It's not USA, but it's really good.
Parenthood?
Yeah. Season 1 just came out on DVD.
Okay, so the thing about Parenthood is... Peter Gallagher, thank you, Miles. The thing about Parenthood I could never watch that show.
Why?
Why? Because...
You're not a parent?
No, no, not because I'm not a parent. Because I have this strong emotional feeling whenever I hear that name. You want to know why? I know Parenthood.
You
I
know
do.
The movie?
No, no, no. Parenthood the movie is fine. That's Steve Martin. Pretty cool. Okay to watch. I know the show Parenthood from the WB. I believe that's what it was on. It had the guy, I think his name is Richard Townsend. You might know him better as Meteor Man.
Reading Rainbow?
No, Reading Rainbow is the guy Harper from Star Trek.
I always mix those guys up for some reason.
No, that show was horrible. It was like a Tia and Tamara type like level of awfulness. So no, I'm sorry, I cannot watch The Parenthood.
What was that TV show with Monique? Was it Monique?
Well, it was, there was a show called Monique, I think, but that was a spin-off of Brandy's show originally. What was Brandy's show? Do you remember?
I'm trying to remember that show.
It had Brandy and Ray J was in it too, I
yeah,
think.
Yeah, that's the
and...
one I'm thinking of.
Okay, well then, it's not Monique, because she and her daughter from that show, from the Brandy show, got a spin-off called something. It may have been Monique. But there was the original with Brandy. I can't remember what it was called.
I remember I used to watch
UPN. That's the name of the
UPN,
the,
that's not
the TV station that then became like the CB or some shit like that.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Yeah.
Moesha. Yes,
Moesha. Moesha. Yeah.
Michelle to the rescue. You really shouldn't have told me what her
signing
name is.
Why? Why? I remember actually. you were making fun of me once when I was talking to her on Facebook, and you're like, Leonard, who's this Leonard? Who's that? But yeah, this was way back before you met her, I think. But yes, those are the two things that I've been watching. Nothing else except, no, to tell you the truth, there is one show that I've been watching, but I kind of want to save it until I'm finished.
Okay.
Because it's
right, I get that.
It's a significant thing.
Okay, I get it. So I'm just going to name off...
And just a hint.
Hmm?
It's got somebody from the Deschanel family in it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I know what you're talking about.
No, you don't.
Okay.
You think you do.
I'll name off some of the big ones that I've seen since we last recorded. I saw Cemetery Junction.
Did you?
Yes.
Is it good? Or how was it?
The new Ricky Gervais and Stephen Merchant written and directed film with Ricky Gervais in it. Stephen Merchant makes a cameo.
Awesome.
It's about these three friends in this town, Cemetery Junction, and they're all trying to deal with their lives and how they want to get out of the town. And, you know, it's one of these, it's set in like the 60s in England, and it's one of these times when everybody, when you live in a certain stratus, you always and everyone just goes to the factory and works. That's how it works. And these three children, they don't want to do that. One is angry at his father for being the way he is, and it's partially because he doesn't know something, which we find out later in the film. One is just really awkward and strange, and he's finding it very difficult to connect with other people. He gets picked on a lot, and one is the main character who likes this girl, and he wants to work for this guy played by Ray Fiennes, who owns a huge insurance company, and he wants to try and get out of Cemetery Junction via that avenue through the insurance company. But he finds out that that's not really what he wants. He wants to go off with this girl, and how he ends up doing it. And it's one of those movies which isn't particularly great,
mm-hmm.
but it has a lot of the themes that you would see in a lot of old British movies, new wave British cinema, a lot of Rebel Without a Cause kind of themes, which are all great and fun. And there are a lot of really funny scenes in here, just like most of Ricky Gervais's work. A lot of the humor, when it comes, it's really sharp and really quick. Like, you never knew it was coming until he just says this one line. Like, I can't can't even remember because it's been a while since I watched it, but there was one scene where you see Ricky Gervais along with the whole family in the house, and he's talking about how, you know, the child should go and get a job, he should go and do something with his life, and the child's like, I've gotten a job. And then the Ricky Gervais' mother,
yeah,
who lives with them, is like, your father got a job, you don't really have a job. He's like, what are you talking about? I have two jobs. I've got the one at the factory, and on the weekends I clean windows and do that. It's a business. And she's like, cleaning windows, that's not a real business. And, you know, it's just really this back and forth. It's really good and it's really funny. And as I said, it's not a great film, but it's good when it's good. And it has its points. Another film I saw this week, I saw The Good, the Bad, and the Weird. which is the South Korean film which is based on The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly.
Okay.
It stars, I don't know his name, but it's a guy who played the priest in Thirst.
Park Chan-wook.
No, that's the director.
Park Chan-wook. That's all I know.
and this movie is not that good.
Really?
Like,
I've heard so many good comments about this movie.
See, this movie has good things about it, but overall is not really good. First of all, it already has a notch against it. because The Good, and the Bad, and the Ugly is a fantastic classic. It's 3 hours long and it never drags. This movie, it plays off The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, is 2 hours long and drags like hell.
Oh, yes.
In The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, you were given 3 complete lovable characters. Characters you wanted to spend time with, which is why those 3 hours never dragged. In this film, The Good, the Bad, and the Weird, the only character that you actually want to spend time with is the weird.
Okay.
The rest of them feel really, like, untouched. They're like, okay, he's a ridiculously good guy, he's the ridiculously bad guy, and here's the weird one, which is funny. And you never really want to know anything about the other ones, because they never really give you a chance to do anything with them. And there are some really cool stylized action sequences in this film. Like, for example, there's this one point where the weird is in... I don't even remember what place they call it, but it looks like a ghetto. A Korean ghetto. And he's trying to run away from the bad crew who are trying to get him. And the way the camera moves and the lighting and the kind, the style that they use, it's really beautiful and you really just go into it and you're like, this looks really fun. But then as soon as that is done, you're back to going, why isn't the weird on screen now? Why do I have to spend time with this guy who's so boring? So I wouldn't really recommend it. I'd say just go back and watch The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly.
Okay, fair enough.
It's a far better movie.
Fair enough.
What else do I want to talk about? I saw Blue Velvet this week.
Wow. We had a conversation about this movie last week. Who did we talk to? We talked to Meryl Barr.
Oh, yeah. You guys were talking about Lynch.
We talked about David Lynch, and we talked specifically about Blue Velvet and how, even though I am the self-proclaimed, not just self-proclaimed, actually, the undisputed champion of weirdness on this podcast, I wasn't sure about this movie. I was very iffy about it. I still need to watch it again to be sure. But I'm still... even when I think about it, I'm like, wow, do I really want to put myself through that? What did you think, Andrew?
I love this movie. I so far have seen... This is the 5th Lynch film I've watched.
Right.
I've seen Lost Highway, which... I don't know if he can top that movie for weirdness, but I actually like that one. Dune, which I didn't like at all. The Elephant Man, which was good. And I've also seen Wild at Heart, which I didn't like at all. Mm-hmm. And now I'm at Blue Velvet, which I really loved. What I like about this movie was that, unlike all the others, it grounds itself in reality. He definitely has a few moments where his style comes in, where he... I don't even know how to really explain it.
Baby.
No, hold on, I'll get to that in a moment. I don't really know how to explain how his odd style comes in, where someone will be talking about something and he'll go away from what they're talking about and show certain things on screen which feel like he's showing emotion, he's showing their thoughts about what they're talking about on screen. And he does it a lot in his films. You see it a lot in Wild at Heart, and you see it a lot in Lost Highway.
Yeah.
But in Blue Velvet, it doesn't happen that often. And I mean, Meryl was talking a lot about him purposely going against the A-B shot rule.
Mm-hmm.
Where generally you have the two cameras set up, and your two people are having a conversation, and you'd keep the camera on one guy while he's talking and move to the second guy, and he'd purposely go against that continuously, and it worked in this case. Now, where the David Lynch weirdness of this film comes in is that he has a batshit out of crazy character, which I have no problem with. We've seen movies with characters who are insane. And this character, is definitely insane. And that character is played by Dennis Hopper. He's Frank, and it is a bit odd when you see him and he goes, "Baby, wanna fuck?" And he has his oxygen mask, breathing and stuff like that. But I enjoyed it because the truth of it is that this movie is just a detective film.
It really is. It's about a young man who sticks his nose where it shouldn't be.
Yeah.
And ends up finding an ear. So, you know.
He ends up finding an ear accidentally and then starts following the lead to find out the truth as to what the hell is going on. I even like towards the end how smartly he dealt with the situation. And I know that probably isn't a word.
I'll give it. I'll give it to you. Lynch or McLaughlin?
McLaughlin.
Okay.
I like how all the pieces come together. Like, the thing I like about detective stories is that it's solving a puzzle. I mean, that's why I would like movies like Brick. That's why I like movies like Chinatown. That's why I didn't like movies like The Long Goodbye. Because in The Long Goodbye, they had pieces, but you never saw them put them together. And you just saw the pieces drop down eventually. Like, they're like, "Oh shit, we have to give you a piece, don't we?" Boom.
No, but that wasn't even like that. You know what The Long Goodbye was like? It was a movie about this guy that's awesome, and I love the main character in The Long Goodbye, but The Long Goodbye was nothing more than a TV show that is a mystery TV show that tells you that there's this mystery, gives you no information whatsoever, and in the last 2 minutes of the episode says, "Oh, the guy that did it wasn't even in this movie." You know, that pissed me off.
You know, it's fun. But that's where this movie succeeds. It allows you to move along with the main character, feeling like you yourself are also solving this mystery.
Yeah.
Which I really liked. And, I mean, I have no problem with weird characters, weird plots, and weird dispositions. Sure, I have trouble following Lynchian mythology sometimes, but this film didn't have that trouble at all. Is there anything else I wanted to mention that I saw?
Actually, I wanted to talk. Well, mention something about Blue Velvet.
Okay.
And I said this to you right before you watched the movie, and you're like, "What?" But my favorite character in that movie is Dean Stockwell. You know who Dean Stockwell is?
Which one's Dean Stockwell?
Do you remember Quantum Leap, sir?
Yeah.
Do you remember the guy? That was not the guy that was going around.
The guy was like, "You can't jump that like that anymore." Or
Yeah.
"You have to stay here and solve this problem."
Yeah, that guy. That guy was in this movie. He was the owner. Well, maybe not owner, but the head guy in the... I believe it was a brothel that they went to somewhere in the middle of the movie.
Yeah. Wow, I didn't even put two and two together.
That guy, that character in the movie was... I really liked it. Did you what did you think of him?
I thought he was cool. I wasn't really paying attention at part, but like during those stages, it was just watch Dennis Hopper be awesome. Because I mean, Dennis Hopper's character was batshit crazy, but batshit crazy in a good way. It was something that I enjoyed watching. I think Hopper is a fantastic actor, and I mean, he died recently. You know.
Wow, Andrew. Okay.
That didn't sound sympathetic. and like I find that he is an actor. Whenever I see him in films, he tends to pop out most whenever he is batshit crazy. Like
Like in Speed.
Oh. That was a fantastic performance right there.
You know what other movie he was batshit crazy in? A Marlon Brando film. Apocalypse Now.
Yes.
That was awesome. Anyway, next.
I keep remembering that line.
Which one is that?
The world won't end with a bang, but with a
whimper. Yeah.
You can't. He's talking in dialectics, you know. You can't talk in fractions, a quarter, a third, a half. You know, how are you going to land on the moon with that? You know, I love that bit in the movie. It's awesome. I love that movie. I think I'll just like not talk about anything else.
Really?
I could talk about Cobb.
You could.
So I watched this movie, Cobb. I Google searched the greatest sports films of all time, and I found an ESPN link, and they had all the great sports films, and I was like, I haven't seen those. So I got some of them, and one of them I watched this week was Cobb, which is a film about Ty Cobb, a famous baseball player who I've never heard of, played by Tommy Lee Jones, and the time when Al Stump, I think his name is, played by Robert Wool, was employed by Ty Cobb to write his biography. And what I loved about it was that it wasn't about him as a baseballer. It was about him as a fucking asshole.
Yeah.
Throughout that period. I mean, you got tidbits about him as a baseballer through that time, but it paid more attention to him and his true character. The movie really isn't that notable to talk about. I mean, Tommy Lee Jones gives a good performance, but that sometimes it feels reaching. It feels like he's trying too hard to be an asshole. Like he's just, and it bothers me. Robert Wool, I like him. I've always liked him from days of Arliss and Bull Durham, his performance in Bull Durham.
I didn't know he was in Bull Durham.
He's in Bull Durham.
He is?
Yep.
Another reason for me to try and watch that movie.
I love that movie so much. I don't think I've ever seen a film or anything with Robert Wool where he isn't related to sports or a reporter.
I'm going to have to try and, you know, shoot down that thought there.
Like, I mean, Douglas said it best. Like, I was watching the movie and Douglas sat down for like the last 20 minutes of the movie.
Oh, yeah.
And he was watching a little bit of it. And he was like, you know, this is Scent of a Woman. And it totally is. Like, I like Scent of a Woman. But the thing about that movie is that you find yourself liking Al Pacino when you're watching that movie. In this movie, you don't like Tommy Lee Jones at all. Like, you just hate him. And you're like, eh. So, I wouldn't recommend it, but, I mean, if you're going to watch it, you're going to watch it. And you can tell me what you think about it.
Wow, that's...
Yeah, that's harsh.
Okay.
Curious man, Smith. What is it that you're looking for?
I've always believed that something good was in store for me. Destiny all my own.
Andrew's trying to regain his composure, but for the moment, I will just say that today we saw a movie, and that movie was called The New World. It was directed by Terrence Malick, starring none other than Batman himself, Christian Bale. And
is that the more alcohol?
I don't know. It's a tie, apparently. But yeah, we had Christian Bale, Colin Farrell, Christopher Plummer, and Pocahontas.
What's her name? Corinka Kilcher.
It's funny. I remember when this movie came out, and this was before I was employed, so it's been a long time since this movie came out. And the lady who played Pocahontas was on the Ellen DeGeneres show. I used to love that show. If I didn't have to go to work every day, I would watch that show every day. It's so fantastic. Ellen is hilarious. Anyway, and apparently she like sings and does all sorts of things, but I haven't heard anything from her since this movie. But yes, we did watch this movie. And Andrew, since you decided to inflict this pain upon us, please tell me what it's about and what you thought about it.
This film, it's as close to the real story of Pocahontas as you will ever find on screen. It's about the character of Pocahontas once the English have settled on America, and Smith is thrust into this world along with everyone else. Smith goes off too far into the river to try and find the chief and their tribe, and they capture him and they keep him for a while, and Pocahontas and him fall in love, and it's kind of hard to give out the full plot of this film because then you're going to spoil everything.
But at the same time, it's kind of hard not to, because everybody knows it already.
Yeah, if you know the story of Pocahontas, you have a general idea of what this movie is going to do. However, what I really, I particularly like this film. It was very introspective watching this film, because we've all seen Pocahontas, the Disney film, and we've all seen Avatar, which is Pocahontas in space. And I mean, some of us may have heard the whole idea of the real Pocahontas and what might have happened, because I don't think I've ever actually heard someone say definitely this is what happened.
Well, actually, I knew all of this story already because, like you said, I'd seen the Pocahontas Disney movie, and you know how factual that is.
Yeah.
But funnily enough, I had actually seen,
you know, pillaging and raping towns. Yeah. Sing about it.
Yeah, but no. Funnily enough, I had actually seen another Pocahontas cartoon as well. That was billed as Pocahontas Part 2, but I'm pretty sure it was not a Disney movie, where it spoke about the whole second half of this film, where which was after her encounters with John Smith. And all of what was in this movie was in that teeny tiny little cartoony thing. So I kind of knew everything already, which was interesting. I was just like, oh, that was real? I thought that was just baby learning, you know, like, ooh, everybody lives happily ever after.
One thing that I really liked about this film was there's so much of it where I don't need to know what they're saying. Like, just from how the camera is and how you see people move and interact, like, I would be perfectly fine if this were like a foreign film and they were speaking just foreign languages and there were no subtitles, because I got everything that was going on just by how people touched and moved and dealt with each other, and how you would watch, like, Smith when he was in the tribe, how you'd see him just walk around and look at all the people, like, going about their day-to-day lives in the tribe, and his assumptions of what they were completely changed. You didn't even need to hear him say things like, these people are peaceful people and they all they are about is love and things like that. What I particularly liked about that part was when you saw Farrell and Pocahontas, Smith and Pocahontas falling in love. Smith said this one line, and it was one of those moments where you knew it was him thinking, it's not saying it. It was where he said, this just is and everything else just seems unreal. And it made me think about things like Inception. I mean, we like to talk about that movie because it's really awesome, it just came out, and we've seen it so many times. But in Inception there's this one point where DiCaprio's character says, dreams feel real while we're in them, it's only when we leave them that it's only when we wake up that we find out what's strange about them. And that's how I felt that was, and love is. He was in the state of love and in that area where he didn't have to deal with his issues with the all of the people from England who came with him, or his duties or anything. He was just in that state, and thinking about anything outside of it just felt unreal. And you could even see that when he left the tribe and came back to the colony, and he had to finally deal with all the issues of starvation and mutiny and everything going on at the that you just it felt unreal. Like, it felt like he had woken up from a dream, and it was kind of brilliant like that. One thing I will give this movie, it did feel while you were watching it that it was dragging, but at the same time it felt more like the moment that you enjoyed so much just kept going on. And I could tell when you were watching it that you were like, when the fuck is this movie going to end? When the fuck is this movie going to end? And I can see for anyone who isn't really into that kind of thing that it would, like, be pain. But I kind of liked it. It's definitely not something I'm going to watch every day. Maybe something I'd watch once a year. It's a really interesting take on the Pocahontas story, especially for people who've only seen Disney and Avatar. You know? I don't even want to give away that second half, because
it's not common knowledge.
So yeah. It's something that's, that was really interesting to me. I've always wanted to sit down and sit through a Terrence Malick film, because I've heard people rave about him, his once a decade form. And I'm sure I'm going to go and find more to watch.
Oh no, definitely. I mean, even though I'm not making it a secret, I really did not like this movie. There are others that I really want to watch, just like Miles is recommending here Days of Heaven, which I really would like to see, as well as I've seen like maybe 5 minutes of The Thin Red Line. And holy crap, I want to watch that movie so bad. but if you've got nothing more to say on the matter, I guess I'll talk about the debacle that was this movie. This movie was bad, Andrew, bad. I felt like this movie was akin to a badly written textbook. It gave you the facts, but not much else. It didn't engage you at all. At no time did I feel like I was...
You know what you just made me think of?
What?
Big Fish. You know that movie?
Yeah, I know that movie.
I really love that movie. There's this one point where... What's his name?
Albert Finney?
Albert Finney is talking to Marion Cotillard, and he's like, oh, my son told you
this
story.
Wait, Marion Cotillard is in that film?
Yeah, she plays Bully Crudup.
Holy crap, I haven't... Billy Crudup or
Billy
Ewan McGregor?
Crudup. Ewan McGregor plays...
McGregor.
Albert Finney. Billy Crudup is...
Oh, yeah, his son. Okay. Yeah, I haven't seen that movie in a long time.
I don't want to throw everyone off course too far. There's this one point where Albert Finney is talking to Marion Cotillard, and he's like, oh, my son told you that story. That means he told it wrong, because he tells stories with all the facts and none of the flavor. And I just always love that quote.
Yeah, but you see, that's the thing, right? I love movies like that.
Like,
facts and flavor, or more flavor than facts. You know me, Andrew. You know that that's my type of movie. This movie had all the facts and all sorts of other things, but it did not have any flavor. Nothing whatsoever. This movie, so it gave you, like I said, the facts. John Smith comes to the New World. Pocahontas exists. John Smith gets fucked up. Pocahontas saves him. John Smith and Pocahontas, they totally, like, you know,
hook up
and get down and busy. Shit happens after that, and it's all like that. So the movie, it feels like, you know what it really feels like? It feels like it's underwater for most of the time, but every once in a while it will come up for air and give you this fact. So, for example, at the beginning, you say, okay, we are now in the New World. It's up above the level of the water. I'm giving you what you want. And then it goes under, and you've got Colin Farrell just walking around and saying, and, like, you know, feeling the plants and seeing Pocahontas dance like a deer and you see his hands just vaguely caress the tops of the corn or the fern or whatever, and then it comes up for air again. John Smith goes to the big Indian town and gets in problems, and Pocahontas saves her, and then it goes underwater again. It's kind of like more of these shots where nothing really happens, but it's really pretty, and I'm not denying that. You know, these shots are really pretty, but they give no information. They're overlong for the information that they give, and they don't engage you in anything. They don't say to you, Douglas, Andrew, please watch this movie, enjoy what is happening, feel like you are a part of this thing, feel like you want to stay and watch some more. We're going to give you some entertainment. It's more like, okay, I've done a lot of pretty shots, but I haven't really done anything with them. Hang on, I have a fact here to give you. That's essentially what this movie is. And that really got me upset. Because even an hour in, you remember we paused it an hour in, and I was like, okay, we've gone an hour. At that point, I think we had gotten just to the fact that John Smith was with the Indians, and that was about it. Like, you know, why did it take him 2.5 hours to do what he did?
Just so he could have, you know, what? There is a cut that's an hour longer.
Cause he's a crazy motherfucker. Simple as that. As simple as that. Now, Terrence, I'm gonna give you another chance because I've seen a piece of your war film and it looks good. But if I were to just say yay or nay on your awesomeness or lack thereof based on this movie, I'm sorry, dude. I would have to say nay. Very much so. Unequivocally.
Like, there's nothing in here for you.
Like I said, the shots are pretty. I guess the acting is good. But, like, secondary to how great the shots are and how good the acting is the fact that I really want to leave this movie at every step of the way. Andrew, I fell asleep. I tried to watch this. No. That I did fall asleep tonight, but for like 1 second before it had actually reached the point where I never knew what was going on. But like, no, I fell asleep after like a half an hour the first time I tried to watch this, because I was just like, yes, I was tired at the time, but
just like me and Dune, right? It took me 3 tries to watch that movie.
This movie just, if it's flavor that you want to call it, sure, it's all flavor and no facts or whatever. I don't know, boss.
The other way around.
There's no, the flavor just it's horrible. No, sorry. Not good at all.
One thing that really struck me about this film was the way it gave you a feeling for where we were. In that, yes, we had all of these people all over the place, but like as you would imagine in the world at that stage, there weren't as many people and there weren't towns. Everything was untamed. It was just land. And as you would see, like, Smith and his men paddling up the river, you just get a shot of the land around us, and just things like that would always I just want to sit with that kind of view for another 5 minutes throughout this film. And there was so much of that I just loved, and that's what I love about this film. It's so detailed. There definitely aren't that many points where you feel like there's any perspective. It does feel a bit too factual.
Yeah.
But it's something that I think should be applauded. Like every once in a while you the facts are enough. And in a story that everyone knows for the not so factual version or versions, as we've mentioned, it's kind of nice to see. Like, as I said, it's not something I'm gonna watch every day, like once a year maybe, but I really liked it.
Yeah. Alright, fine. You're wrong.
Dom, the world is so full of a number of things. I'm sure we should all be as happy as... But are we? No. Definitely no. Positively no. Decidedly no. Short people have long faces. And long people have short faces. Big people have little humor, and little people have no humor at all.
And in the words of that immortal bard, Samuel J. Snodgrass, as he was about to be led to the guillotine, make 'em laugh, make 'em laugh. Don't you know everyone wants to laugh? My dad said be an actor, my son, but be a comical one. They'll be standing in lines for those old honky-tonk monkeys.
Anyways, I'm looking at my Twitter. You could
study, yeah,
and Mr. Nick Newman.
What does Newman have to say for himself?
Nick Newman, he writes for the film stage. I talked to him a lot. He's asked me, what classics haven't you seen? So Douglas, what classics haven't you seen? Let's go one by one here. Let's think. Are there any classics out there that you...
Okay. Let's think about... What are we defining as classics? How are we going about it? Is there an age limit? Is there... Like, yeah, how are we defining a classic movie?
Let's go, you know, the films with that high standing out there, you know, like a Casablanca, a Citizen Kane kind of film, which everyone talks about, and whenever you have those conversations, you're like, yeah, I know that's the great, but let's not talk about that one, let's talk about what's happening now. You know what I'm talking about, right? You know what I mean?
I think so, yeah.
I mean... The first one that comes to mind, which I really want to check out, which is going to be coming out on Blu-ray soon because they're re-releasing it and they found extra footage, is Metropolis.
Yeah, I want to watch that movie too. It hasn't been released yet? I thought it was released already.
It was released already, but the thing is that there's been missing footage.
No, when I said that, I meant I thought that the missing footage and everything was released already.
Theatrically, not
on DVD. Oh, okay.
They had a theatrical run of it. But the DVD and Blu-ray are coming out, I think, in October or something.
Yeah.
I might be wrong. And I'm really interested in that movie. I have no idea what it's about. I know it's science fiction. I know it's a silent film. And I saw the new trailer when it came out, when they were talking about this new footage, as we mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
But I really want to check it out. I have no idea what it's really about. It kind of strikes me as like a Frankenstein kind of movie.
Frankenstein! Okay, I hear you. One for me, I guess, just off the top of my head, is I've actually read the story, and I know what it's about, but I've never watched Birds by Alfred Hitchcock.
Oh, there's a lot of Hitchcock films.
Oh, yeah. Essentially, if it's a Hitchcock movie, I probably haven't seen it. Because what have I seen? I've seen the first half an hour of Rear Window.
I've seen Rear Window. I've seen Psycho.
North by Northwest.
I've seen North by Northwest.
I've seen pieces of Psycho. I think that's about it.
I can't think of anything else that I have seen. I should see more Hitchcock.
Exactly.
Should be like the next marathon.
Yeah.
I haven't seen The Great Escape. Steve McQueen.
I've seen pieces of that one, but yeah.
I know that it's a war film and they're in a POW camp and he has this green bike eventually. But that's all I know.
Steving. Yes, this alcohol, it's getting to me. Speaking of Steve McQueen, I haven't seen The Magnificent Seven. Isn't he in that movie?
Yes, he is.
Yeah.
That movie is fantastic.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you haven't seen the original.
Which one is the original? Like, maybe 5 minutes. I know I've been in a room when it was on, but I haven't actually watched it properly. I have seen, like I said... Jeez, what the hell is it called? Is it the Hidden Castle Fortress or something like that? Which is what
George
Lucas claims to be his main inspiration for Star Wars. So I've seen that one, and I've seen the one that we had to watch. What was it again?
Ikiru.
Is Ikiru that we watched?
Ikiru we watched.
Okay.
I've seen a ton of Kurosawa at this point.
Yeah, I know. You did a whole marathon on that guy.
It was really fun.
Yeah.
That dude makes good movies.
Yeah, he does. Or it seems that way.
Well, when you think about it, what are those that you have on your mind that you want to watch, like, right now, if you had the choice? Like, if you had the option to press play right now?
One that comes to mind, I guess maybe just because it's a big name, is The Maltese Falcon with Humphrey Bogart.
Humphrey Bogart,
I kind of want to watch that. I want to watch A Count of Monte Cristo. I want to see what the
hell original one?
Yeah. I hear the new one's really good too, so I guess I want to watch that as well, but I want to see where it all began.
I keep thinking of V for Vendetta now.
V for Vendetta, yes.
They watch Count of Monte Cristo, yeah. I don't think I've ever actually seen that film.
Yeah. What else do I want to watch? There are all sorts of classics that I want to watch, but like, it's one of those vague questions that when you're asked, even if you actually think about it every once in a while, you just go blank, and that's what I'm feeling right now. URL removed, Miles.
Yeah, your link will not work in the chat room. Send it to me on Twitter.
Sabrina, I've seen the new Sabrina, Michelle, it's crap. Harrison Ford clearly did something wrong there. I love Juliette Binoche, but come on. Yes.
When I'm thinking of classics, what is something that I want to watch right now? Hitchcock, yes.
Yes, all Hitchcock stuff.
Like, the first thing that comes to mind that I really want to watch of Hitchcock is Vertigo.
You know what I want to watch too? Even though you said it's shite, a lot of people I know hate it. I want to watch 2001. I've never seen that movie before. I've seen Full Metal Jacket, which to this day I still have a love-hate relationship with. I've seen and adore Clockwork Orange. I've seen Paths of Glory, I think is the name of it.
Yeah, I love that movie.
I like that one too. And I've seen a couple others, Eyes Wide Shut, and I guess technically AI is a half of a or
so,
a quarter of a Kubrick
film.
So
Miles sent me a link to the AFI's 100 Greatest American Films list.
Alright, yeah, that's a good list to glean from, I suppose.
And now I'm looking down the list, the first film that I haven't seen going from the top is number 4, Gone with the Wind.
Really? You've never seen that movie
before?
Never
seen that movie.
I have to say that I have only vague memories of it, but I have seen it before.
And right below it,
Lawrence of Arabia. Yes.
I guess I need to get on to these really long-ass movies.
My friend Jeff made sure I watched at least some of Lawrence of Arabia, one of his favorite films. Yeah. I have not seen this one, The Bridge Over River Kwai, and that's one I actually want to watch.
I want to see that one. I haven't seen The African Queen, which I have heard.
Oh, I don't know that one at all. Raging Bull, I have seen it. It's horrible. Sorry, guys.
I love Raging Bull. That movie is awesome. It is the best sports movie of all time.
Foolishness. You know what's better than that? The Mighty Ducks. Okay. Okay. I want to watch Chinatown. I've never seen that. And I've heard you rave about it.
Jack Nicholson as a PI, Faye Dunaway, and
yeah.
I can't remember the name of the guy who plays Faye Dunaway's father, but he's a famous dude.
famous man. And another Jack Nicholson movie, One Flew Over a Cuckoo's Nest. I've never seen this one.
I have not watched that movie. I so have to watch that movie. What else is here that I haven't seen that I should see? Midnight Cowboy. I've been meaning to watch it forever. I've watched it the first
which
five
one?
Minutes.
Which one is this?
It's John Voight who goes to the town and becomes a gigolo. And I think Al Pacino's in it, isn't he?
I don't know that movie.
Well, you've seen West Side Story. And
yes,
you
I have.
Me for it.
Yes, I do. Streetcar Named Desire. Another one. I haven't even read it. I just know Stella! That's about it.
Oh, man. There are so many movies here.
Guess who's coming to dinner? I've never seen that.
I watched it. It's nice. I'm kind of surprised at how many of these I have seen.
Yeah.
like going down from the bottom, I haven't seen Yankee Doodle. I've seen Guess Who's Coming to Dinner. I've seen Unforgiven. I've seen The Searchers, Pulp Fiction, Goodfellas, The Apartment, My Fair Lady, Patton. I haven't seen Easy Rider.
I want to watch that. Yeah.
That's Dennis Hopper.
I know. Dennis Hopper and Paul...
And that's what
no, not Paul.
Khan
Peter.
Festival,
Pete Fonda.
Pete Fonda. Fargo
and
is
Nicholson is in it too. I know Fargo. Yeah, it's odd sometimes to see how everybody thinks of a classic as like say a movie from the '60s or the '40s or whenever, right? But every once in a while you see a movie, hey, a modern movie. I know, get there. Inject
Network.
Itself.
Have you seen Network?
I haven't.
It has a famous speech. You know the speech.
I know. I saw you watch it. Yeah.
And I love that speech so much.
It's funny. I never knew where it came from because when I was in college, I had an American politics teacher. I took politics once, and he kept saying that he loved to quote that line about "I'm mad as hell." And what was it again?
I'm mad as hell and I just can't take
it
anymore.
Yeah, that.
Mm-hmm. Stick your heads out of your windows and just scream. I'm as mad as hell. And just I mean, even recently with what happened a few months ago here with the Dudus incident, I felt like that kind of, that whole monologue was just so what was happening right now.
Yeah.
At that point, because he talks about how, you know, the crime, the violence, the depression, the inflation, all of these things, I know it's happening, and at this point all everyone is asking for is just give me my living room. just give me these four walls. I'm okay if you leave me here. And he's talking into the television like, I'm not going to give it to you.
Yeah.
Like, I'm mad as hell. Stick your head out the window and just scream. I love it. It's such a fantastic moment in film, and it's something that I've never forgotten, and something that I always draw on times like that when you're just feeling confined due to what's around you.
Mm. Oh, The Deer Hunter. I want to watch that.
I haven't watched that movie at all.
I love Rocky. Rocky is awesome.
American Graffiti. Have you seen that film?
No, not really.
It's the film before Star Wars.
I know.
Ron Howard. What's his name?
Harrison Ford.
Harrison Ford was in, but he's not the one I'm thinking of. Is it Richard Dreyfuss?
Oh, is he in that movie?
I think Richard Dreyfuss is in that movie. And it's one of those movies which I felt really odd about because I liked it, but I didn't know why. You know, all it really is a night of driving around with all of these teenagers. All of these, like, 20-year-olds to teenagers. And it's kind of interesting. And I mean, they're all listening to the radio to this guy, the Wolf. Something the Wolf. And it's kind of odd to watch. But right now I feel like we're just rambling on.
Well, of course we are. I mean,
we have no direction right now.
Yeah, but that's what happens, you know, when we kind of think of something up on the fly and then get proper information from somebody who's listening. Miles, thank you so much.
So, do you have anything you want to talk about right now?
Right now? Yeah, I've got something I want to talk about. I've got something that's very dear to my heart.
Share with the world, or the five people that are listening.
Why is Vincent Chase doing drugs?
Oh, are we going to talk about this?
Not really. I don't know. I just came up with the first random thing that popped into my head.
You know, let's talk about that. Entourage.
Yeah.
All right, so just as a warning for anyone out there who's listening, we're about to talk about this season of Entourage so far. So if you are not up to date on Entourage and you really care, you might want to tune off.
And by a warning, Andrew means I've already spoiled it for you. Sorry.
So Entourage, a show that many people across the internet have started to hate.
Started? I remember that shit started happening like at least 2 seasons ago. People were like, this thing is dragging. There's nothing more new that they can come up with.
I actually think that this season is one of the more interesting seasons. Was Sasha?
No, it was not. I don't think. I'm pretty sure Bai Ling was nude in
Entourage.
I mean,
that.
Yeah,
having sex on that show.
This is okay. One. Miles, do you not know the Vincent Chase rule? This can be applied to various people on various other TV shows, but it started with Entourage. The Vincent Chase rule is: if there is a new lady on the show, Vince will bang her. And that's how it works. So yes,
with the exemption of the few girls who we are introduced to, via E.
Exactly. Or what, every once in a while, Turtle. Yeah, I don't think that Sasha Grey was the first nude scene in Entourage.
I'm sure she was the first voluntary nude scene.
No, not voluntary. I think she was the first, like, everything scene. I think that was the first below the belt scene. But I'm not 100% sure.
You know, really? I'm going to stop bad-mouthing Sasha. She's
Wait, what? Are we bad-mouthing? I'm not bad-mouthing anybody. When did that happen?
I felt like I was bad-mouthing her.
Okay.
Well, I don't know. Well, I felt bad at what I said. I apologize.
Well, Sasha. Go ahead.
anyways, this season of Entourage, unlike all the previous seasons, where what they did was they said, Vince needs a movie. Holy shit, by episode 8, we've got you a movie. And he's fine. Is he not going to get a movie? Will he get the movie? Is he going to do this? Is he? And then he's fine by the end, and they're all rich and happy. In this season so far, what's occurred is that E is seen to finally being successful with his managerial career. Even though, to tell the truth, he continues to really only have Vince as far as we're concerned.
Yeah, that's so true. I mean, I know he has, who knows, he has Bob Saget.
And he technically has drama.
Well, yeah.
But that's all we really see, and that's really odd to me.
Yeah, that's so true. He really is a one-horse shop.
And we have Turtle, who is now doing... Well, he started out the season doing his lady limo idea.
Which tanked so hard. I mean, who'd have thought that sexy ladies driving expensive cars wouldn't work as a taxi service?
Well, I mean, I don't want to be the one who does it, but the show did it first. They did make the joke continuously as to that women can't drive. They don't know where they're going. They lose themselves a lot, which I find really rude. there's Drown, who for the first time in a while is having job trouble. In a while.
Well, I guess in a while. But the show really has been characterized by his inability to get a job.
Yeah.
I mean, except for maybe this last season, because he had his show with Ed Burns.
Yeah.
But then, you know, things happened. And he got kicked off.
For heroic reasons.
Voted off the island.
For heroic
my ass. Who jumps to that conclusion? My friend's girlfriend is meeting with my boss. He must be fucking her. I'm sorry. That's bullshit.
I mean, at this point now, Turtle is doing the tequila thing.
Yeah.
And I mean, we should be drinking tequila, but we have vodka here, which is done.
Yeah, and can you drink Kahlua by itself? Probably not. Kahlua's...
I mean, I'm sure you can,
it's
but
a liqueur.
It might not taste that well. You can do a dash and see what it tastes. It might be strong, because you get a lot of coffee flavor with the milk in it.
Yeah, I don't know. It'll be strong coffee flavor,
yeah,
but that's
what
about
I mean.
It.
So, he's doing the tequila thing, and Vinny Chase is trying to get this Airwalker movie.
Not quite Airbender.
I'm sure it's a thing on the Last Airbender and Avatar and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's like there's not Harvey Weinstein, there's Harvey Weinberg or something like that.
Scott Weinberg. And he's on drugs, dating a porn star.
Yeah, he is doing blow like nobody's business.
Yeah. And we are no word as to his disposition.
And funnily enough, Billy Walsh is
back.
Completely clean.
Yeah, he's clean and he's back.
Clean cut, clean shaved, clean off the drugs.
I almost didn't recognize him when he just came on. I was like, who the fuck is this tall dude? So I think this is like one of the most interesting seasons of Entourage in a long while, because it actually makes you think that it's not just a worry of will he get the job or won't he get the job, because I think he's going to get work anyways. Vinny, like, he's going to get the movie anyways, because as you
well
see,
he has kind of gotten the movie already. He just doesn't know what's going to happen with it because the director's
got fired or left
whatever. Yeah.
The thing about it is that it's going into the idea of the celebrity and drugs, Which we've never seen in this show, really. I mean, we've seen them smoke weed and we've seen them drink, but never anything hard. And I mean, added to the fact that the other day I was listening to this new podcast Kevin Smith did with Jason Mewes, where he dedicated like an hour and a half a live show
talking about the 1920s.
Yes, 1920s were involved, where Jason Mewes talks about his addiction to drugs and how he dealt with it and his stages throughout life as to what drugs he was on, what he was doing, and how it affected him and how it affected the relationship and stuff. And seeing it on Entourage, I'm like, this might be the most interesting thing they're doing right now. And I think I've said that for like 5 times in the last 10 minutes because I've drank vodka.
Oh, vodka makes you say interesting things, Andrew.
So, yeah, what do you think about this season and that idea?
Well, I don't know. And I say this as you are now sucking the last remnants of what there may or may not be in that vodka bottle straight from the spout.
Absolute has a weird spout.
No, it's not weird. It's that's the type of thing that they have at bars where, you know, they kind of measure
it's
the...
It's a jigger thing.
Yeah. Anyway, what am I saying? So this season, the whole drug thing, I think it's an interesting take on what they've already done. Clearly they're trying to make it a little bit fresh, because really and truly, even though I try to block out all the naysayers that say that Entourage has gotten old,
to make you laugh.
Yeah, Entourage really has become a one-trick pony. It really does do the whole, will Vinny get a job? Oh, look at that, Vinny got a job. Let's go bang some girls. That's about all that happens in one season. And so it's good to see that they're trying something new. At the same time, I don't know if... We'll see how far they get into it. And I think that maybe they can get really deep into it. I like what they're doing with E, in that E's always been a bit of a pushover. And maybe not in a bad way, but he's never been very assertive. He's never, you know, stuck to his guns. And it looks like he's starting to do that now, especially with, you know, the whole drug thing and the way he's speaking to, you know, people that are not in his inner circle. Like Phil, I think his name is Phil Yagoda in the show, the same guy with the broom we were talking about before. And I always said it since maybe 2 seasons ago, I love the fact that they started to focus a bit more on E. I really like E's character. And I like that they're still focused on him, and that they're progressing his character.
Do you think that as E's character progresses, that he'll move from manager to agent? Like, I feel more and more that he is becoming Ari.
Well, he kind of is. I mean, he's doing the same sort of things that Ari is doing now, because, like, this last episode, or was it? No, it wasn't the last one. It was the one before this one, where him and Scott Kahn decided that, you know, Ari's kind of dealing with his own shit right now, and so they have to step up to the plate and get Vinny this job and make sure Vinny gets the salary he needs to get and make sure that the contract, whatever happens, and that the interviews are okay. And that's really, like you said, what Ari is doing. So yeah, maybe he could become an agent. But what I really think is going to happen is that him, well, I'm not sure about Scott Kahn anymore. It was looking like him and Scott were going to become this dynamic duo.
Scott was a bit of an asshole.
Yeah, well, he always has been, but there's a difference between an asshole that's alone and an asshole that can be tolerated because he's worth something and goes with that. And Scott Kahn right now is looking like somebody who can't be tolerated, or at least in E's mind can't be tolerated.
So Miles is asking in the chat room, do you think Ari is going to retire?
I hope not. I love Ari.
He can retire.
Listen, no matter how much other people say that Ari is the beating stick of the show, and he is, you know, he is like the crutch that the show needs to lean on, because they just kind of throw in some cock and cunt jokes, and that's about it. I don't care. I love those jokes. I love them. I love him.
Do you like him right now being restrained?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. I love it. And restrain him more, because that's just going to make him come out even better.
I find it hilarious when they finally fully restrain him, because he's under a lot of legal trouble thanks to tapes being shown to the world of his demeanor and how he deals with his staff. He walks into a staff meeting and he's like, "Hi, everybody. I'm a really nice person. So who wants to hug me? Except for Lloyd, because I don't want to get him excited."
But him and Lloyd have their own special relationship. Yeah. It's funny because they were in another... it was more like him and Babs in a meeting. And he was like, okay, really and truly, the only person who could successfully sue me is Lloyd. And he's not going to. It's not happening. So let's move on.
So yeah, I don't know what else we can say at this point. I'm actually going to go and say a horrible thing. Like, I know it's characters and fictitious, so it really doesn't matter. But I hope that at some point the season ends with Vince on a low.
I actually... do you remember? I think it was the second or the third episode in this season where at the end of the episode they were trying to wake Vinny up. And it looked like he wasn't going to wake up.
Yeah.
I actually kind of hoped that he OD'd at that point. I was just like, that would be great. And maybe, you know, in the next episode you see him in not quite a rehab, but in like a proper hospital where he's like, shit, I almost died, guys. Wow.
And you see
Give me some more drugs.
All over Entertainment Tonight.
Yeah. I thought that that would have been a nice little twist. And that's why I'm not 100% sure about... what they're doing, not what they're doing, but the direction that they're going in, because I think that they're half-assing it a bit. They're like, ooh, look at Vince, he's dark, but at any given moment
they'll just bring him back.
It looks like they could bring him back, which is why and yeah, sure, you can bring him back from a rock bottom, but the way that they're doing it now, they could bring them back without Vince having any problems at all. And I'm not sure if I like that. I'm not sure if I like the fact that they're not that committed to this downward spiral.
Another thing that just came to my mind, and it's just general films and television and how they're treated. We know from films like, holy shit, what's that last movie with Ben Affleck?
Ben Affleck, The Road, not The Road,
Not the one that's coming out this year. The one that was out last year.
Baby Gone. Oh, State of Play. Oh, okay.
They had this character played by Rachel McAdams, who...
no, it was... it wasn't Rachel. It was the other one. It was... can't remember her name, but Rachel McAdams was not in that movie. It's the one with the big chin. She was in that... horrible movie with Why the Last Man. What? Foolishness. What? Oh, you know what I'm thinking of? Sorry, I'm thinking of Gone Baby Gone again.
Okay.
Yeah.
And the girl you're thinking of is Michelle Monaghan.
I like her. Michelle Monaghan.
But anyways, Rachel McAdams plays this character of this reporter, but she works at the news. She works at a news station, but she doesn't work on a newspaper. She works on the blog, on the internet.
Yeah, and she's not a real
They treat her very horribly during that movie. And it's like Russell Crowe has to teach her the ropes of how to be a real reporter, and then they like her at the end. In this show, they finally brought in technology, and they're talking about the Twitter and the Twittering, and I feel that movies and television, whenever they talk about Web 2.0 and stuff like that, they always talk down about it.
Yeah, they kind of do.
And even in the show, they talk of it so whimsically. Like Turtle is telling Vince, you should tweet about tequila. And he's like, yeah, I'm tweeting. And then a director is having an interview with him, and he talks about, I saw you tweeting last night about the Twitter, about the tequila. And he's like, okay, my fingers are sealed, and I'm not doing it. And it feels very like, as I said, talk down about it. And, I mean... I have no problems with people making fun of it. I mean, you saw Conan do it when he was doing the Tonight Show at NBC. Oh, and Conan. I actually wonder if he's going to still do that joke when he comes back at TBS, because he is now on Twitter himself.
Well, I don't know if he's going to be on Twitter very much longer. His last tweet was something along the lines of, I just found out I don't get paid to tweet to you people. Goodbye.
So my question is, how do you feel about this Web 2.0 thing in media?
In media, like how it's played in TV shows, yeah. Just the way that.
Does it bother you when they talk down about this stuff?
It doesn't really bother me. I'm just like, yeah, whatever, guys. You're old people. Fuck you.
Eventually, in another 20 years, I'll be saying how Twitter is awesome.
And then, like, the new version, the tooter, I'll be like, what the hell is a toot? What? Fuck that shit.
You only use four characters. And you can only use emoticons.
Exactly, you know.
Anyways, that's the last thing I can think about. Anyways, let's just round this off. Fuck you, Damien, for not showing up. And with that, I guess we can say goodnight. This is Andrew.
And this is Douglas.
So once again, I'm hoping next week we'll do our Hollywood Fantasy Draft. So if anyone out there wants to participate, send me an email. I'll send you one back with the rules and how we're going to do it. You can record your submission, or you can send me a written submission and I'll read it on the podcast. It'll be fun.
Okay, so just cutting you for a second, please record it. That would be so awesome.
It would. You can find me as usual on Twitter at Gman Reviews. You can find all my stuff on gmanreviews.com, including this podcast. And you can find the podcast on iTunes as well as the podcast alley.
Yeah, and I'm on Twitter as well. My name is DJ R. Lost His Name. And that's about it. Yeah.
So good night, and thanks for listening.
Think you own whatever land you land on. The earth is just a dead thing you can claim. But I know every rock and tree and creature has a life, has a spirit, has a name. Think the only people who are people are the people who look and think like you. But if you walk the footsteps of a stranger, you'll learn things you